I want to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to speak here. This is the first conference I've ever been invited to, and consequently, it's the first talk I've ever given at a conference. I'm a graduate student at Courant. Lai Sang Young is my advisor, and I'm going to talk about a model today that is fairly similar to some things we've already seen. I was a little scared during some of the talks that someone would say it's the exact same model, but I don't think anybody did. So what we have is we have a chain of boxes, all of unit length, and in each box there's a single ball, all of the same mass, and they're moving back and forth along this box. And when they reach the end, they get reflected and move back with the same energy. At the end of each of these boxes, there's a heat bath. It's going to be a non-equilibrium. They're going to have different temperatures. And the particles can interact with their neighbors. There's a little opening at the end, and they poke through, and there's a little bit of overlap region where they can hit each other. So this is, of course, similar to many things we've already seen. I've attempted to list some of the names up there. There's plenty more. So what we did to actually study this, we made one simplification, and that's that we're going to look at it on a one-dimensional line. So each particle is confined to a region in which it can move, and these regions have a little bit of overlap. So the first particle might move on the region 0,1, the second 0.95 to 1.95. And at the end of these chains, there's heat baths on each end. When a particle reaches the end of its interval, if it didn't hit a particle along the way, it's just reflected with the same energy. When it hits the heat bath, it acquires a new energy drawn from an exponential distribution, beta exponential minus beta eta, where beta is thought of as the inverse temperature, and the two baths are in non-equilibrium. So how I studied, the way we studied this model is almost purely numerical. And for the purpose of this, what I've done is I've fixed the length of this overlap interval at 1/20. So what am I going to talk about this model? So first I'm going to pose the questions that we're interested in. I'm going to talk about what we think the answers to these questions should be, and then we're going to supplement that with some numerical data to see how correct these guesses are. Then I'm going to show where we sort of got some of these guesses by comparing this to a stochastic model. And after that, I'm going to look at the local dynamics and make some corrections to our guesses to sort of based on some more numerical details that we have. So the two big questions that we are interested in are the global behavior and the local behavior. So the energy profile, that's the global. What I'm interested in is the mean energy of each individual particle sort of plotted all together. It's often convenient to think of this on the interval 0,1, and we're curious what this graph looks like, whether it's going to be a constant, whether it's linear, whether it's a curve. And then the other question is the local marginal. So we fix a particular particle, and then we look at its marginal distribution, and we see whether it is also exponentially distributed so that we can sort of grab the temperature from that. By exponentially distributed, I mean a Gibbs distribution sort of like the ends. So these are the questions we're interested in. So our first guess for the macroscopic one is that it's going to be approximately a linear profile. So what we're seeing here is a numerical simulation. This is a chain with 100 particles in it. The left hand has energy, average energy of 5, and the right has a temperature of 50. So we're thinking of the left end as our cold end and the right end as our hot end. What I've done here is I've plotted the straight line, that's the red curve up there, and then I've plotted the numerical data that we've gathered from a long simulation on this. And we see what we see is that it's a pretty good approximation, and it's not perfect. That's where our corrections are going to come in. It curves a little bit above this line. So just some things to note is that it goes from 2.5 to 25. The reason it's half is because the distribution on along each particular interval is not the same as the distribution at the baths, because slower particles are going to take longer. They're going to spend longer on that chain or in that interval. So there's this 1 over square root factor out in front. And the mean from that turns out to be a half. So this is our global picture, and then we also have the local marginals. So what I've done here is I've gone ahead and assumed that the linear profile is correct, and from that I've extracted what the mean should be, and then I fit an exponential curve to that, and so that's the pink line here, that's the exponential curve. And the blue dots here are getting numerical data. And the exponential curve doesn't seem to be as good as using this idea of a mixture. So this concept was already introduced, but by mixture, I mean basically a convex combination of the two end distributions. So here for this combination, so what we're looking at right here is a chain of 400 particles. These are the PDFs. I fixed a particular site. This is 1/10 of the way through the chain. So this is particle 40. And I've grabbed the combination of the left and the right simply by taking x equals 0.1. Right? We're assuming that the linear profile is correct, so this a of x up here is just going to be x. And the mixtures seem to be a pretty decent fit. And here's a few more. This is the one on the left here is at the site 3/10 of the way through, so particle 120, and then I also have one halfway through the chain. Again, the mixtures seem to be pretty good fits here. Down below, I've just to be clear on what exactly I'm plotting here, I've plotted both distributions that I'm looking at. I'm looking at energy here, so I'm using the exponential Gibbs distribution in terms of energy, not in terms of the usual PQ variables. So where did we get these guesses from? So just to reiterate, our guess is that it's approximately linear and approximately a mixture. The motivation for this comes from the stochastic model. And the way this model works is that we have, again, a chain of n boxes. And each one has some energy. And then we have two heat baths on the left and right at site 0 and n plus 1. And between each pair of boxes, we have a clock, an exponential clock that goes off at rate 1. So all of the clocks are going off at the same rate. Every time one of those clocks goes off, the energies are just swapped. So this was a model similar to this originally was by Dar, and then later a proposition was made by Lin and Young that gives exact formulations for what the global energy profile and the local marginal should be. And what we see is that, so these are for arbitrary distributions, not necessarily exponentials. And what we see is that there's just convex combinations in both cases, so that the energy profile here is perfectly linear and the marginals are exactly mixtures. So this is the stochastic model. So how does this compare to our model, and why should it be a good approximation? So some similarities and differences, right? The things that this has in common with our model is the nearest neighbor interaction, right? Each particle can only interact with the neighbor to its left or its right. The fact that energy is swapped in both of these models, right? That's because in our deterministic model, that our mechanical model, that everything has the same mass. So when two particles collide, they only exchange energy. It's not redistributed. And this is also the same in both models, plus the connection to the heat baths. And then, of course, there's some differences. The big difference is, of course, that our model is not random at all outside of the two heat baths at the two ends. It's everything in between is completely determined. So that's the big difference, but there's a couple others. We don't have any way of knowing whether the probability of something jumping left or right is necessarily just 1/2, 1/2. In the stochastic model, because everything is the two clocks are ringing at the same rate, the probability of going left or swapping with the left and swapping with the right are going to be the same. Here we see that that is not the case, or may not necessarily be the case. The particles to the right are moving faster than the particles to the left. So there's no real way to necessarily say for sure that these particles are going to exchange at rate 1/2, 1/2. And the energy exchange is not a constant, right? As I was just saying, they occur at velocity-dependent rates. If the particles are faster, there's going to be more collisions. If they're slower, there's going to be less. So that's another difference between these models. It's sort of related to this probability one. Yet, in spite of these differences, it still seems to be a pretty good approximation. And we still have the linear, approximately a linear energy profile and approximately mixtures as our marginals. So now to talk about the local dynamics a little bit, let's just restrict our attention to when we have just two particles. Okay? No heat baths here. They're just two particles placed in a random position with two velocities, and they're moving back and forth. What we want to know is whether there's a, what we want to know is how long is it going to take until they first hit. Is there some expectation of this? Is it even a meaningful question to ask? So if we, for each of these intervals, if we think of it as going from the left to the right on the interval 0, 1, then when it goes back, goes to the interval 1, 2, we can think of this as a problem on a torus. Here we have this gray diamond in the middle. That's going to be where our intersections occur. So whenever the particle goes into that region, that means that the two particles have collided. And it's just going to be moving at a slope given by the ratio of the two velocities. So what we can, one thing we can notice that if, as this is rotating, if we just draw a line straight down the middle, we can turn this continuous map, or we can turn this into a discrete map by just looking at every time it hits this line going down the middle. Then every time it hits inside that collision box, that means a collision occurred. So we can sort of get an idea of how long it's going to take by thinking about how long it's going to take for a particle rotating on a circle. How many rotations is it going to take before it gets inside an interval of length delta here, 1/120th. So we can already see that this is not always going to have an answer, right? If it's a rational number, it may never hit inside that interval. And in particular, if it's a rational number with a low denominator, the intervals in which it can't hit that delta interval are going to be bigger. Right? So we expect when it's low rational for it to look very bad, and the picture as a whole probably doesn't look so good. So here's sort of what it looks like. If we think of the velocity on the left as being smaller than the one on the right, so that this ratio between the two is going to be between 0 and 1, this is a graph of how many rotations it will take on average for a particle to get inside that region, right? At the rational, so 0, 1, 1/2, it's especially bad, a third, two-thirds, it's all very high, right? So it may look like there's no hope with this, right? But if we look at the CDF there on the right, we see that very quickly, for a reasonable percentage, it's actually very low or reasonably finite. So if we were to drop just some, say, the worst 10%, then it wouldn't look so bad at all. So, which is nice because in our actual model, there's far more than two intervals, right? So It is certainly possible that we could have two intervals in our chain that look very bad, but whenever that, in order for it to stay bad, we would need three consecutive intervals to be bad, right? Otherwise, one of them would just get fixed eventually. And if that was not the case, then if somehow we had three very bad, then we still need four very bad, and eventually we would need the whole chain to look bad before we actually had a problem, right? So there's a reasonable notion of expected time to collision. So that's not something we really need to be too worried about. Now, this picture It only depends on the ratio of the two velocities, not the actual velocities themselves. So if we just scale these velocities so that the lower one is always 1, just pull the 1 over VR out in front, okay, then the actual expected time to get that, you just take the number of rotations and multiply it by that 1 over VR. Okay. So not only is there a reasonable notion of expected time to collision, but it sort of scales like 1 over the velocity, basically. So just to return to this idea of whether our energy profile was exactly linear, if we said earlier that maybe the probability of moving left-right is not exactly 1/2, 1/2, there's reason to believe that there might be some bias towards moving to the right because particles are moving faster there, and so we might expect there to be more collisions occurring on the right side. So if we set PI to be the probability of the particle I colliding, making a collision with the right, and we write that as 1/2 plus BI, where some BI is some bias. Okay. Well, we don't know if that bias exists, so right here we're just sort of assuming, making the assumption that it does, and just doing a computation. And we see that if that is the case, then there is a second derivative given by the BI over 1 over n, where n is the length of the chain. So in particular, it's not exactly linear. And then numerically, we sort of looked at this BI to see whether it really exists or whether how it scales with the variables. So this is a plot of the BI versus n on a log-log plot. So each color here corresponds to a different position in the chain. So if you fix a color, you're looking at what the bias looks like in relationship to the length of the chain. And what we see is that they approximately follow a straight line with slope minus 1, okay, which means that the BI appear to scale like 1 over n. But that's fairly significant because if we look at the second derivative computation, the ratio is BI over 1 over n. So if BI really scales like 1 over n, then that's roughly a constant. So that's not just an artifact of having a short chain. And it's something that's it's really there. So there really is some curve to this energy profile. Another observation that is made is that if you look at the different colors, these are going further along in the chain. We see that this bias appears to be going down, which suggests that the bias is decreasing as the energy is increasing, because further along in the chain you have a higher amount of energy. So one reason for that, or one explanation for that, is that the time to a collision scales, as I said before, like 1 over the velocity. So if you're looking at a chain of 3 particles somewhere in your chain, and you're looking at the middle particle and asking whether it's going to collide with the left or the right. So the middle one has some velocity v, and the one to the right is a little bit bigger, v plus some epsilon, right? Then the time for the middle one to collide with the left is 1 over v, and the one for the right is 1 over v plus this epsilon. When v is smaller, that epsilon has a greater effect. So you would expect the bias to be a little bit bigger there. So it seems reasonable to suggest that the bias would decrease as E increases. And the other thing, we haven't played around with this too much, is that the bias does appear to disappear as the length of this interval is decreased. Okay. I'm a little hesitant, so I put it in parentheses, to say too much about that, because as you make delta smaller, it takes a very long time for things to converge, and the simulations have simply not run long enough to say anything for sure. But the trend appears to be that this bias is decreasing as delta is decreasing. So that's basically the end of the talk. So just to give a brief summary of what I've talked about, So we looked at a mechanical model where trapped particles, they exchange energies with their neighbors. The profile is roughly linear, so injected energies do approximately a random walk, right, even though the speeds of walk depend on energy. Again, this is not perfect. There does appear to be a little bit of curvature, but they're approximately linear. There's no LTE because the presumably because there's no redistribution of energy, so that sort of violates that. But and the marginals instead appear to be mixtures. I just put this in since it's sort of the theme of the conference. If I had to guess what the convection is, I would say it's delta T over square root T, simply because the time scale is like 1 over velocity, so 1 over square root of the energy. And this is just a guess. And I guess the main point is that this has a resemblance to the stochastic model in spite of being a very not random at all model. And that's the end of my talk.